Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2018, and thanks for kicking off the new year with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. We're getting ready for the first Trip Report of 2018 with listener Susan here in just a minute. But first of all, we want to remind you of our great sponsors that make the Be Our Guest podcast possible. First of all, you need a good read to make a resolution to enjoy a great book or two here at the beginning of the year. It's still cold. It's wintertime. Great time to cuddle up with a book. And if you're a Disney fan, you need Beyond the Wisdom of Walt by author Jeff Barnes. It's a great read on how Walt Disney had this vision. He was a futurist, and he wanted to make the ultimate city down in Central Florida, kind of urban planning and you know, all of the things that we've learned about Walt over the years. And he connects those to our lives. You know, how can we apply what Walt had in his visions to improve our careers and our relationships with those around us? You can also check out The Wisdom of Walt, the original book, which connects with Disneyland for those folks who enjoy the West Coast as well. Drop by thewisdomofwalt.com or shop on Amazon today. Again, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt and The Wisdom of Walt by Dr. Jeff Barnes. Make another resolution to save time and money here in 2018 with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They, of course, have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for with views, and so much more. Before you head down to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal, drop by touringplans.com today and pick up your premium subscription. Again, drop by touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1267 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday and Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2018. We thank you, as always, for supporting the Be Our Guest Podcast, and we're looking to make this a great year here with the show. Later on in a few months, we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary of podcasting. So we're very excited for that here in 2018. Some new shows actually coming, some changes to the podcast. Nothing major, going to make it better here in 2018. So stand by for that. But today we're going to kick off the year as we do every Monday. We know you're probably traveling and, you know, watching football like I am, or down at Walt Disney World like I am as well. Getting ready for marathon weekend. But either way, whenever you listen to this show, it's always great to have a trip report. Today is a very timely one that I think is going to help a lot of our listeners. So joining me today from Columbus, Ohio, we have listener Susan. Susan, Happy New Year. How you doing?
Happy New Year's, Mike. Thank you so much for having me on.
Glad to have you. It's a great way to start a new year, to talk some Disney. I think really nothing better unless you're there, which I am right now. So I guess I am winning, but it's good to talk Disney to kick off 2018.
Yes, you are winning definitely today compared to the rest of us. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pay the price in about 6 days, running the full marathon and 48 miles in 4 days. But we'll have fun. You know, we don't have to go very fast. Thank goodness Disney doesn't kill us for going slow and messing around. That's what we'll be doing the whole time. So anyway, let's talk about your trip today. And so you got to kind of travel solo. You were down about this time last year in January. So give us the background on this trip, and then we'll kind of dive into things that that you learned during your trip.
Okay, yeah. So this was a complete bonus trip for me. My family and I had been on like an every other year type trip. We have two kids, and it's my husband. We usually travel together. And we were there in November of 2015. That was our last trip together as a family. And I just fell in love with Disney that time around. It was our first time getting to go and do the FastPass Plus reservation system. And so the planning aspect of it was so much fun. And getting to go and enjoy Disney was so much fun. So I just kind of fell in love with it. I caught the Disney bug super bad. And it was so hard when we left in November 2015 to know that I wasn't going to be back for another 2 years. So that whole year, I was just sort of sad that I wasn't going to get to go back for a while. And the Disney blues really hit hard in the fall of 2016. And I was kind of bummed, and I had kind of given up on the idea. I'm like, oh, we're just not going to get there back again until, you know, 2017, and that's okay. And then my husband came to me in October of 2016, and he said, hey, you know, there's this conference in Orlando that I want to go to for work, and I was wondering if you want to go with me. And before he could even get the sentence finished, I was like, yes, 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 I want to go. And of course, he sensed my excitement. He was like, wait a minute, why are you so excited? And I was like, because I'm going to go to Disney. And he was like, you're going to go to Disney World by yourself? And I was like, yes, and it's going to be amazing. And he's like, what are you going to do at Disney World by yourself? And I was like, that's the beauty of it. Anything I want, and it's going to be awesome. So that's kind of how the trip came about.
So, okay, so talk to me about the November trip, though, the one in 2015, because I'm always curious about what it is that kind of hooks the person in, because, you know, I can't really quantify it. It was just... it was how manicured everything was, how themed the resort was when I stayed there. It really wasn't like a tangible thing. For me, it was like the feeling. That's why I had to get back and I fell in love with Walt Disney World. But what do you think it was that made you long for the place months and months after you left?
I think it was a combination of things. So first, it was our first time staying on property, and we happened to qualify for the free dining plan, you know, quotes, free dining plan. And so that was just a fun experience. So we got to kind of be foodies on the trip. We usually travel on a budget. So just getting to get to enjoy the food however we wanted to was fun. Getting to plan ahead with the FastPass Plus reservation system was fun. Having just Disney take care of everything. You know, we put our luggage down at the Columbus Airport, gave it to security there. And we didn't see our luggage again until we got to Walt Disney World, and it was delivered to our room. So even just little things like that, when you're traveling with kids, having your luggage delivered to your room is amazing and not having to, you know, cart it through an airport once you're there. And then just being able to use the Magical Express and having them just, you know, take care of everything. And then once we were there, we relied on Disney transportation. So just that whole idea that everything was kind of included and we didn't have to worry about renting a car or driving or cabs or anything like that. It was just, everything was just so like magical. Like you could just enjoy yourself, you know? And that's what I really liked about it. We also happened to be there for Jersey Week that week, and I'm from Philadelphia. I live in Ohio now, but it was just sort of fun to be there with my people. You know, I felt very at home just seeing all the Phillies hats and the Eagles gear walking around the parks.
Nice. I like it. I like it. So, you know what though? I think you're exactly right, because you know, everybody that's listening to the show today has those people, you know, at work or, you know, maybe at, you know, a kid's athletic team's practice that, you know, they're like, well, you know, what's the big deal about going to Walt Disney World? You know, we go to Branson or we go to whatever, Cedar Point, you know, in Ohio, whatever it is. And they say, you know, we can get a hotel. We can go to the amusement park and or we can go to the lake and go fishing and stuff like that. But I think you really said what makes it magical. And I've learned this with starting to fly over the past couple of years that it is. I mean, it is kind of magical to know your vacation kind of kicks off once you get on that airplane, because you don't have to wrangle the luggage and it just shows up. As soon as you get there, your room doesn't even have to be ready. You can go right to a theme park, start having fun. And there's just something about, you know, we talk about being in the bubble, but I think you are really saying that same thing, that, you know, you get that escape of being in the bubble and everything is just kind of magical while you're there. And I think that's why we go.
Exactly. Yeah, it was great.
All right. So talk to us about this trip you took with your husband. So he's down there doing work. Okay. So now how fair is this, first of all, and how much fun did you have?
I had a blast, and it really wasn't fair at all for him. Although I shouldn't say that. He was at a conference and he was very interested in the topic of the conference. He's currently working on his PhD. And so the conference was very helpful and kind of helped navigate the direction of his PhD. He's kind of a dork like that. I'm a Disney dork, and he's an academic dork. So that's okay. We work well together. But it was kind of fun planning this trip because, you know, as soon as my husband knew I was on board to go, he kind of relinquished the planning to me because I'm the vacation planner of the family. And initially the plan was we were going to stay at the hotel by the conference center and we were going to rent a car. And then I was going to commute to Disney every day. But I looked at the hotel prices at the conference center and they seemed very pricey to me. And I remembered that Disney had mailed me a discount code and I had 25% off a moderate. So I was like, just for kicks and giggles, I'm going to punch this into the computer and see what happens. Well, I found Caribbean Beach for significantly less. I think it was like $50 to $70 less per day to do Caribbean Beach over this conference hotel. And when you factor in the fact that I would get Disney transportation plus we'd get free parking on Disney property, it was kind of a no-brainer because parking at the conference center was a lot cheaper. And so I went to my husband. I was a little nervous about it because I wasn't sure if he'd go for it. I was like, hey, you know, it'll be Disney. It'll be cheaper if we stay at Disney. Would you be willing to be the one that commutes back and forth to the conference? And he very graciously said yes. And he thought it was a good plan. And so I was really surprised because, you know, that I felt like that was a big sacrifice for him to make because he would have had the convenience of being at the conference and not having to worry about commuting and that kind of thing. And so he was sort of my Prince Charming in that and just made that extra magical experience for me to be able to stay on Disney property. We had never stayed at a moderate resort before, so that was another big kind of, you know, little dream that I had. I really wanted to try a new resort, really wanted to try a moderate, and finally had our chance. So it was just so exciting to get to do that.
Now, of course, as we kick off 2018 here, you know, Caribbean Beach right now is in a huge state of flux, you know, with all the renovations, the DVC going in and, you know, the Skyway going to be there right next. I mean, there's just, it's going to be awesome, you know, come, you know, right. We can say next year now, probably late next year,
yeah.
But it's kind of a mess right now. So what were your overall thoughts? Because, you know, moving up to a moderate's a big deal. I remember the first time we stayed at French Quarter and it was just like, whoa, this is really fancy. I mean, that's how I felt. So what'd you think?
Okay, so we got there right before the construction started. I can't remember what month it was that the construction started, but we got out just in the nick of time, I think, as far as that goes. And as far as Caribbean Beach goes and moderate, I there was pros and cons to it, honestly. The big thing was, I mean, the pool was great. I loved the pool. Obviously, the rooms are a little nicer, but it is really spread out. I mean, we were used to Pop Century, and I just love Pop Century. And Caribbean Beach is so spread out. Luckily, we got a really good room. We got a room in the Jamaica section, but in the section closest to the bridge that goes over to like the main pool and all the restaurants. So we didn't pay for a preferred room, but I feel like we got a really good location in a standard room location. I also had really good luck with the buses, but I know how, you know, the buses pick up at certain locations and then they go all around the resort. Well, Jamaica happened to be the first stop that week for the buses to be picking up. I don't know if it's always that way, but that's the way it was for us. And I think we would only make like three stops before the buses would be full. So I'm not sure what was going on the other side of the resort, if they were sending buses or if those people were just out of luck. But I remember thinking like, boy, I'm really glad we're staying in this section and we get the priority bus service kind of thing. So that was good. Our only downside to this room was that we had some really noisy neighbors. And I'm not sure 100% if this was our neighbor's fault or if this is Disney's construction's fault. We were staying right next to a family who had a block of rooms. I think they were doing kind of like a family reunion type trip. And they just were constantly running in and out of the rooms. And there was like kids, teenagers, like running back and forth, like very loud. And we could hear their conversations in the next room. But it was strange because we never heard our neighbors on the other side ever, except for maybe when they would like come and go and a door would open or shut. But that was it. And so we did talk to our neighbors and they were very gracious. You know, we just explained, hey, you know, we can hear you guys just so you know, like, could you please be a little quieter? And they were super nice about it. And you could tell they were trying to be a little quieter, but we could still really hear it. So that was kind of disruptive, especially since it was just the two of us staying in the room and we finally didn't have the kids with us. So it was kind of a bummer to have so much noise, but that's okay.
I'm surprised they didn't just invite you to be a part of the big family reunion, you know, and then you could have been rowdy with them and everything would have been all right. You know, that's frustrating because you're right. Because, you know, when Mallory was younger, you know, I was always so worried about that, you know, like, oh, we can't make, you know, we're wild and crazy, but we try to be very respectful of those around us because we know that it could be a couple next door, you know, celebrating their honeymoon or an anniversary or, you know, an elderly couple down, whatever, you know, there's a lot of people that travel without kids and I try to be aware of that. But I think it's cool that you were proactive and kind of just said something to them and hopefully it kind of probably didn't get perfect, but it got better.
Yeah, it does help. Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned how, you know, a moderate resort like Riverside, Caribbean Beach, you know, very big, spread out, even Coronado Springs to a certain extent. And you like the feel of Pop Century. But would you go back to, say, a Riverside or a Coronado Springs if the occasion arose, or would you go back to Pop Century?
Yeah, I think I probably would, you know, try Coronado Springs or Riverside or even go back to Caribbean Beach after the construction's done. I might be a little bit more reticent about like where I stay, maybe make a specific request for a certain section. Cause I was very thankful that we lucked out that time and got a good section, but I probably would be more, interested next time in a, as far as the moderate category goes, to try French Quarter. Cause from what I hear, it's a little bit more like pop, where it's, everything's a little bit more close together.
Yeah, that is. It's a great bridge from a value that where, you know, it's not as spread out. It's more compact with everything squished a little bit together. But it does have the bigger rooms and has, you know, the less, I'm not saying this in a bad way because I'm a fan of the values, but the, you know, less gaudy type theming and more, you know, traditional or like geographical theming to an area. So, yeah, I recommend French Quarter is a nice step up from the values to the moderates. Now, let me ask you this, because this is one of the things that was shocking to me in a way when I first went as a solo traveler and I had, you know, nobody else to worry about, which is really weird for me because I'm always trying to, you know, make the girls happy, make Pam happy, try to balance everything out with what I want to see as well. You know, so we all get to do what we like. But when you go solo, like you can actually wake up in the morning and just... That freedom is a little bit shocking to me that I can do whatever I want. It's almost like it's almost paralyzing in a way because I can do anything I want. So where do I start? So how did you attack that?
Well, I kind of planned this vacation just like I normally would. I made a touring plan for myself because, again, I'm just a Disney dork. But it was really easy to stray from the plan and still get everything done. And that was what was awesome about it. Our first day that we got there, we flew into Columbus and we got there, we landed at 8 a.m. And my husband immediately went and got the rental car and he drove to the conference center and I went straight to the Magical Express. I don't remember the exact timing of it at all, but like I went to Caribbean Beach and then I caught a bus to Epcot. And I know that I got to Epcot, was through security, and was walking into the land pavilion at 10:45. So we landed at 8 a.m., and I was getting in my first queue at 10:45. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, at 6 a.m. this morning, I was in Columbus, Ohio, and at 10:45, I'm getting in line for Soarin'. So
that still blows that my mind. Every
that was
time,
pretty awesome.
Every time somebody says that, like, I feel the same way. I'm like, because I never flew forever, and now it's like, 5 hours ago, I was in St. Louis. I am, you know, standing in a theme park now. This is bizarre, you know, because I would have only been in Kentucky, you know, driving. That still blows me away. It sounds like you really wanted to maximize that time, though. I love it.
Yes, I like hit the ground running. Epcot was a big deal for me. I just fell in love with Epcot all over again. Epcot has always had a sentimental value to me. So growing up, we took one trip my entire childhood to Disney World. My parents took us once. I think I was around 8 years old at the time. And I just have so many wonderful memories of that trip with my family. And Epcot, for some reason, sticks out in my head a little bit more vividly than the Magic Kingdom did. And of course, back then, that was the only two parks that were open. And so it was really neat to get to redo Epcot in my own eyes. Because, you know, when you're with your family, it's wonderful to be with your kids and it's wonderful to be with your husband, but my husband doesn't have that sentimental attachment to Epcot. He doesn't get it quite. He's not, you know, quite into Disney as much as I am. And my kids, they're all about the rides, and Epcot's not really a ride park. So it was just so fun to get to explore Epcot by myself. That was the one park I was really looking forward to, I think, the most, just getting to go through World Showcase and spend as much time as I wanted to in the different shops and get to see the different, you know, kind of like museum type setups that they have where you get to learn about the culture and various things about those countries. I got to see Voices of Liberty for the first time and I was just blown away. Again, that's not something, you know, my husband's super interested in and my kids are probably a little too young to enjoy it. Although I do think I'm going to get my kids in there this next time when we go. And I got to see, I don't speak French, so forgive me, but Serveur Amusant, the French acrobat guy who does the, you know, balancing act on the chairs.
Yeah.
That show is so fun.
You did great because I just call him the chair guy. The chair guy in France. I love that guy.
Okay.
But you know what? I did the same thing because when I went down there by myself for either a race or like a media event where they give you, you know, they have you doing a lot of structured things, but then they'll say, you know, we're breaking out at 2 o'clock. You know, we'll pick you back up at 8 o'clock. So you got the whole afternoon, early evening, and you know, I would do the kind of same thing. Like what I found myself doing was taking a lot of pictures, you know, like and really, really slowing down and seeing things like entertainment, getting a snack and going through the back of the Japan Pavilion and seeing, like you said, the traveling exhibit, you know, whatever it was. And those things were great because as much as I try to see those on my family vacations, I feel guilty because I don't know the level of fandom that the rest of my family has. I enjoy that stuff, but I don't think they do. They tolerate it, but I don't feel as guilty when it's just me.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, one great example of that was I went to the French bakery, got myself this yummy chocolate dessert thing, and I went over to Japan and I sat in the, I can't remember what it's called, but the Japan's quick service area that's right there. And I just sat there and enjoyed it. And I think you guys may have mentioned that on the podcast, and there's a few other podcast people that, like, you know, talk about how they just love to sit in the Japan restaurant, you know, the quick service restaurant area and just chill. And I got to do that. And I was like, I get it. Like, this is amazing. This is just so fun to just watch World Showcase walk by as, you know, as you get to sit in quiet and enjoy your chocolate mousse from France.
Yeah, one of the best places anywhere on property is up there. It's up high. It's kind of cool up there. It's tucked away. Yeah. I love it. Man, I need to be there right now. So walk us through like a typical day though. You kind of walked, you know, your first day of how you did that. But I mean, are you going on attractions? I'm sure you said you had a touring plan, so you had fast passes. How did you balance everything out? And like, how much did you get done in a day?
Oh, I got so much done. It was crazy. Just to finish up Epcot real quick. So I chose the Frozen Fast Pass just because I had to go on Frozen. I was so sad when Maelstrom got closed. Again, I mentioned the sentimental attachment to Epcot. Well, Maelstrom was like the main part of that for me. Just have great memories of that as a kid. And when I heard they were closing it to turn it into Frozen, I was one of those haters. And I was just like, oh no, this can't be happening. So I had to go try it for myself. And I just have to say, I was so delighted. I absolutely loved it. I feel like the spirit of Maelstrom is still there. You totally feel it, but the magic of Frozen is there. And of course the technology and the animation is so amazing on those animatronics and just, it's a great ride. I mean, they took a really good ride and they turned it into an amazing ride. So I'm very thankful. The only downside is the long wait for it now, but that's okay. I had my fast pass and that was easy to get because there was only, you know, one of me. I was able to do single rider, of course, for a lot of rides, including Test Track that day. And I did Soarin'. I hit Soarin' like as soon as I got into the park. And I think it was a 40-minute wait. But, you know, too bad for Soarin' compared to what, you know, the waits used to be for that ride. So that was kind of how I attacked Epcot. You know, Magic Kingdom was awesome because I just got to, you know, hit the ground running and just go, go, go. You know, I had my fast passes booked, but the best part about going solo is that those rolling fast passes become so easy. It's awesome.
Yeah, at the Magic Kingdom, man, you are just golden as a solo person. You can burn through.
Yeah. And what was really funny is that the Dumbo ride that day was on the Fritz. And so I kept booking a Dumbo fast pass knowing that, not Dumbo, sorry, I'm so sorry, the Winnie the Pooh ride. The Winnie the Pooh ride was on the Fritz. And so I kept booking a Winnie the Pooh fast pass, knowing that it was probably going to be broken down. And then, of course, when your fast pass is there and it's broken down, that turns your fast pass into a golden fast pass.
Yeah, look at that.
So,
smart.
And I don't know why the system kept letting me book the Winnie the Pooh when I think it was down, like most of the time when I would book one, but it did. And so then I would just go ride Space Mountain or Big Thunder, you know, one of the harder to get fast passes. So that was a lot of fun. And I did roll my fast passes to do Buzz Lightyear like 11 times in a row. And I got Galactic Hero for the very first time. And I was so excited. And the worst part is my kids, they don't know that we went on this trip. They don't know that I went to Disney World by myself. So they don't know their mom's the Galactic Hero.
Yeah, that stinks. That's like it's like hitting the lottery or something on your lunch break where you're not supposed to be off work or something. You know, it's like, oh, what am I doing?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like texting my husband the pictures of all the zeros, you know, that were on my score. And I texted my one friend, Lauren, who loves Disney. And I got my picture taken with my little circuit that said Galactic Hero. It was super fun.
Oh, man, that stinks. But yeah, but someday. So that's one of the stories that kids, you know, that one time that mom disappeared, you know, and I was at Disney World. Yeah, that'll be a good story.
Maybe
21.
Maybe I'll break it to them on our next trip when we're there in 10 days from recording this, at least. Maybe while we're riding Buzz Lightyear, I'll be like, you know, whisper quietly in my daughter's ear, like, your mom's already a galactic hero.
That's right. Like your picture will be on the wall as they exit the attraction. Right. Like, mom, that looks like you. Yeah. Well, sorry. I got something I got to tell you that I'm actually a galactic hero right here. So that's fine. You make a good point though, about the Magic Kingdom and being solo in that it's like a target rich environment. There's so much to do. And with being a single person, you can really go through the fast passes. Also at the Magic Kingdom, there are so many opportunities for things that you could just walk on, like the TTA, the train, the Carousel of Progress, you know, and it's really nice. Let me ask you this, though, because I think this is one of those things where people get this phobia of going solo, you know, for the first time. And I think it's like, what do I do when I'm standing in a 45-minute queue? Or what do I do if I want to do a table service meal while I'm there? So did you encounter anything like that? Like, how did you attack, like, when you had to wait 45 minutes for Soarin', did you talk to the folks around you, strike up conversations, use your social media? What do you do?
I sure did. I made friends. I'm very social and very outgoing. I can make friends anywhere. And actually, it's funny that you mentioned the Soarin' line, because I happened to be behind a mom who was there with her two teenage boys. And so she was feeling pretty socially isolated too, because, you know, obviously boys don't want to be really hanging out with their mom. So her and I had a blast, to the point where we actually hung out a little bit afterwards, and we even ran into each other later in the park, later that day in the park, and hung out a little bit more. So I was so surprised how many solo people were there. And it was so funny. It seemed like we like attracted each other somehow. Like, I was standing at Rope Drop for Magic Kingdom watching the opening show, the new opening show, by the way. That was the first time I saw it. And I happened to be next to a lady who was there by herself. I got sat at the Lion King show on my Animal Kingdom day. I got sat next to another lady who was there by herself. So it was so funny how many people, again, same thing on Pirates of the Caribbean. I rode next to a guy who came from France all by himself. So it was really crazy. Like, it was fun. I made friends with both people who were there with their families, and then also the other solo travelers.
And I think it's what you got to do, though, because, you know, it's a happy place. People are there having a good time. You already have something in common. You know, you're at a Disney park, you talk about, well, you know, have you done Pirates yet today? Or what did you think of Dumbo? You know, so much to talk about, and everybody's pretty laid back. They're on vacation. I love that aspect of it. Now, let me ask you about dining. Like, how did you dine? Did you do any table service? Did you stick to counter service? How'd that work?
So when I was by myself, I mostly stuck to counter service, but again, it was just super easy to navigate. Oh, I had a really great experience in Be Our Guest restaurant. I had not pre-ordered because I was really tempted to, I wasn't sure what I was going to eat, and I was really tempted to just have two cupcakes in lieu of lunch. And so I got up there, yeah. So I got up to the line, and of course, it's really long, and I had to wait to order. But when the cast member saw that I was by myself, the cast member who was sitting at like the host desk, he said, oh, are you by yourself or just one? I said, yeah. He's like, oh, come up here. And so I got to completely bypass the really long line and just go up and order right there. And we joked about how I was just having two cupcakes for lunch, because, you know, when you're in Disney, you can, that counts as lunch. And so, yeah, it was really fun. And I feel like I ran into that experience a lot. Like, as far as table service, you know, because my husband was obviously only in the conference from like, you know, 9 to 5 type deal. We did get to do some table services outside the parks, and it was not a problem finding reservations, obviously, for two people. We booked it way past that 180 day mark. So we, you know, we didn't have a ton of choices, but, you know, like Pam always says, there's always something available. And so we got to go to like the boathouse. Well, actually, you know what? We didn't get a reservation for the boathouse. We couldn't get one, but we did go to Disney Springs, and We got to go to, what's the new bar there? That's the Indiana Jones
Jack Lindsay's Hangar Bar.
You know what I'm talking? Yes, Jack Lindsay's. I really wanted to go there. And then we actually went to, sat at the bar area at the boathouse and just got some appetizers and a drink. And it was just so fun to get to go. That way we got to try, you know, all the new places that we wanted to try without having to have like one big meal at one place, you know, choosing. So that was really fun. And there actually was one day where my husband joined me in the parks. that day of the conference was just kind of slow. And so he said, oh, I'm going to join you. So he ended up buying a ticket for one day, which meant I had to switch my Animal Kingdom. I was planning to go to Animal Kingdom that day, but he really loves Hollywood Studios. So I went and switched all my plans. And I was like really nervous because I'm like, I booked these fast passes at like 60 days out. But it was so cool. I was able to get all the fast passes switched just how I wanted them. And then I just added him on to my fast pass. And it worked really well. We weren't able to get one of our favorite restaurants is 50s Primetime Cafe. And while we weren't able to get a reservation, we were able to get two seats together at the bar area. And so we got to have some of our favorite food. Again, the bartender was great. And he had a really great personality, a really interesting guy to talk to. And then right after that, we got to catch the Star Wars fireworks, which, oh, wow, those were so amazing. I was just blown away. We're not even huge, huge Star Wars people. I mean, we like the franchise, but we're not like majorly into it. But man, I feel like that fireworks show got me into it. Like, I was like, I need to see the rest of these movies that I haven't seen. Like, this looks amazing. So it was so fun to see that.
That's awesome. I love how easy it was, though, to be able to make that change kind of on the fly. And I know your timidness to do that because you have the day planned out, but sounds like it worked out for the best. Now, let me ask you, too, about, because this happens quite a bit, because I get a lot of guests who do email me here at the Magic for Less saying, their significant other is going to a conference in Orlando, and they want to explore doing exactly what you did, as far as one person, going to a conference, say at the Swan or, maybe downtown Orlando or at the Gaylord Palms or what have you, any of those big convention hotels. And the other one's a huge Disney fan and wants to go around and have kind of a Disney vacation. But so did you guys meet up at night? Like what was it like for, kind of blending like your solo time, but also the time with your husband? And how did he be able to make the most of his conference, but also, you're in Central Florida, have some vacation time himself?
Yeah, well, it really worked out well because, a lot of times when I do travel with him for a conference, sometimes he feels that pull like to come back and, keep me company or go out to dinner with me. But he really didn't have that pressure because he knew, Mickey Mouse was babysitting me and I was happy as a clam with, my Disney friends. So it was kind of nice because I think it took some of that stress away from him to feel like he had to be there to entertain me or hang out with me. It was almost kind of the opposite of when we travel together in that way, when we travel for conferences for his conferences. Because, he would call me and be like, I'm on my way home. And I'd be like, okay. And I'd be like, oh, bummer. Now I have to go back to the resort. And so I was happy because I'd get to go hang out with him, my buddy. But at the same time, I was kind of like, oh, I have to leave the parks now. But it really was fun. And honestly, by that point, every day, I had gotten so much done. I feel like, I really felt like I got a day's worth by 5 p.m. So, and I, by that time I had so many miles on my Fitbit, I was like ready to go sit down and have a nice leisurely dinner with him. So it really worked out well. And it was so nice being at Disney for that because, we could go to downtown Disney Disney Springs. Oh, it's so hard to get used to that.
Yeah, it is.
We could go to Disney Springs and, have a great place to eat. We went and did the Contempo Cafe one day because, I had to try the peanut butter pie and it was everything I thought it would be. Like little things like that. It was really nice.
So as we wrap this up, it sounds like you had a really good time, and especially being down there in late January, early February, getting out of the Midwest or the Northeast. It's just put me there. I don't have to even go to a theme park. Show me some green, show me some 70 degree weather and I'm there. We're there right now. It's the first of the year. So, it's a pretty brutal time where we are. So what tips would you have for anybody? You've given some great ones, and making it sound like this is definitely something you can do if your significant other is at a conference in Orlando. But what maybe one more thing that you learned or that you would throw out to somebody to consider, like, would you go back to Caribbean Beach or would you go with the value since maybe you didn't spend a lot of time there? Or would you go to a lot, just any other tips?
I still think in that situation, especially with the discount code I had, the moderate was like a no-brainer. So as far as that goes, I do think the moderate was a great choice for being an adult trip, just a little more mature than the value resorts. But I really like the values. I think they're great. Well, I really like Pop Century. I think it's great. So I haven't stayed at All Stars yet, although that will change here soon. My biggest advice to anybody who's considering going on a solo trip is do it. I mean, it's awesome. It's so amazing. And the nicest thing about doing Disney solo is it's a really safe environment. you know, so many places you go, you kind of feel like you have to watch your back and, you know, be careful. And not that I'm saying you should completely ever let your guard down no matter where you're at, but it's just so nice to know that, like, it's a secure environment. You know, Disney takes security very seriously, and the people there are, most of them, you know, they're just there to have fun with their families. And so it was just a really great place to go and not have to constantly feel like, you know, like, am I safe? Is this an okay place to be by myself? And that kind of thing. So that was really reassuring. But also, again, just having the enclosed transportation system, like, even if you're not going, you know, with a family member who's there for a conference, maybe you really are truly going on a total solo trip, you know, you can fly into Orlando, go right to the Magical Express, you know, you're going to have a safe ride to Disney, you know, you're going to have safe transportation there, you're going to be in that bubble. And so, again, it's just a really, it's a great place to to go solo, especially, you know, for female travelers who might not want to, you know, feel super comfortable traveling by themselves. I think it's a great thing. And you will get to see and do so much. And you can always make friends when you want to make friends. And you can always have that alone time when you want the alone time. So, yeah, if you're thinking about a solo trip, do it. It's totally worth it.
All right. Well, Susan, I can't wait. I think that I might have the opportunity here in 2018 to go down for an AEP, an agent education program, and that would be a solo trip. So, well, with lots of agent friends. Now, that wouldn't be solo, but it'd be kind of fun. So getting excited for that. So thank you so much for the time, and have a happy new year to you and your family, and appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Happy New Year to you, and happy New Year to all the listeners.
That's right. All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at touringplans.com. So stay out of lines and have a great time here in 2018. We've been talking about them for years. You know the deal. Just drop by touringplans.com, pick up your premium subscription. It's good for 365 days. So if you get it today, you're golden for all of 2018. Great advice, great information right there on the fly to steer clear of the crowds and have a great time. Bring down those wait times each and every day of your trip. Really, it's almost like adding a day onto your trip each and every time you go. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. And don't forget about our books, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt and The Wisdom of Walt by author Jeff Barnes. Two great reads here in 2018. It's going to be cold for a while. Snuggle up with a great book. Get inspired. Read about the man, Walt Disney himself, and his dreams, and how you can take his dreams and the lessons he left us in his theme parks to, you know, build the relationships and make those relationships stronger with your coworkers, your family, and all of those around you. So drop by thewisdomofwalt.com or pick up a copy of the books in all kinds of versions. You can get an ebook, you can get a hard copy, soft cover, and more. Just go by amazon.com. Also, don't forget, you can support the show here in 2018. We appreciate that so much by purchasing through our Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You can get all of your Prime benefits. It'll cost you nothing extra, and it really does help support the show more than you guys know. So please, again, when you do your online shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Now, I got to send a big shout out, happy birthday to somebody whose birthday is tomorrow. And that is my daughter, Mallory. She's turning double digits. She will be 10 tomorrow. So everybody that's down at Walt Disney World right now with us, make sure you give a shout out to Mallory as she's out there. And she's lucky getting to celebrate another birthday at Walt Disney World. I still have never celebrated one of my birthdays, and I'm a lot older than 10. Never been there on my birthday, but she's been there about half of hers. So tell her happy birthday tomorrow. I'm proud of that little girl. So happy birthday to Mallory tomorrow on January 2nd. Don't forget, you can follow along with all the fun that we're having on Instagram and Twitter. It's a great time to be following right now at BRGuestMike. And we'll be posting lots of updates to the Facebook page as well at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, it's time to get out of here. Let you get on with your New Year's Day celebrations and having a great time kicking off the year the right way. We are truly thankful that you listen to our show. You take the time. There's so many great, great Disney podcasts out there, and that you take the time to listen to ours is very humbling. So we're going to give our best effort here in 2018 to always make it worth your while and share those Disney memories with you. So for Susan, I'm Mike, wishing you a happy new year. Until we talk again on Wednesday, we will see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.